Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. My name is Josh and I am joined by my friend and co-host Alex. Coming to you 10 days after our last episode, we had to take a minute, decompress, but then also ramp back up because the NFL draft is exactly 1 week away. If everyone isn't excited by now, you better get excited because 7 days until the NFL draft. But not only that, it's playoff time in our other leagues. We got the NBA going into the playoffs. We got the NHL going into the playoffs. Baseball, obviously, has already been here to stay. It's a super fun time. I know maybe we don't have the thrill of March Madness, but all things are going well in sports right now, I feel like. Unless you're Alex and you're a Brooklyn Nets fan. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Nets. I mean, we got a new coach now, Jordy Fernandez. We'll see how he does. But no one really cares about the Nets on this podcast. I'm guessing everyone's a Knicks fan. And, you know, I guess we'll see you guys in about a couple of weeks when you guys get bounced out. But
okay. All right.
Well, who are you guys? Your second seed. Oh, you're playing Sixers, right? And yes. I don't know if you saw this, Josh, but you guys got really unlucky because obviously 1 point game. And if the Heat won, they're without Jimmy Butler the whole series. And you guys would have won that easily. And now you're going to a really tough series with the Sixers who have Embiid back. I mean, I still think you guys will win, most likely, but definitely a lot tougher than it could have been.
I agree.
Tougher than the Pacers. Not tougher than the Magic, probably. Tougher than the Heat for sure, though.
No, I mean, I agree with you, Alex. I think also with the Heat, it would have been fun for us because we want payback. I mean, that's... Yeah. That's a team that bounced us out, and obviously now we have to play a tough 76ers team, which we've had success with throughout the regular season. I'm not too worried. I mean, we'll see what happens. I'm hoping that obviously with the college experience for our freshman year, crazy enough, winding down now with the last couple of two, three weeks left for us, is that I'll be able to be home if the Knicks make it to the second round. So that'll be fun to be able to watch, you know, with my parents and stuff. But for right now, let's talk about the New York Giants. That's what people are here and want to hear. And like you see from the title of this episode, which you're probably confused about, who should the New York Giants draft? Well, according to us, we made our own separate list, not together, because we have different interpretations and thoughts on that, which we'll kind of do a little first take debate style. But we have 1 through 5, one being we believe that the Giants should 100% draft this player if they're there, to 5, a little more down the list of not really, kind of. If they're there, sure. If we're really at no other option, then yes. And then, obviously, there are some players that did not make the list that we'll go through right now to begin, just because we believe they will be gone by that pick.
Yep.
And then, so let's just do that. So, Alex, I'll go through these people who I have that are not on the list, and then you tell me if you agree that they're not on the list because of this reason. Wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State, gone, yeah. Right? We agree? Okay.
Yeah.
Quarterback Jaden Daniels, LSU, we believe is gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Quarterback Drake May out of North Carolina, gone.
Yeah. The three big quarterbacks and Caleb Williams, too, obviously, and Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
I think everyone else...
I didn't even include Caleb Williams because he's the first pick regardless.
Yeah. So those four guys, I think, are 98% going to be off the board. Marvin Harrison Jr., Drake May, maybe a little bit more likely. The other two, I think, are definitely gone. But yeah, I think that's what we're working with here with those guys.
All right, so obviously let's start out with number five. Tight end Brock Bowers out of Georgia is who I have. The Giants, you might think, well, they don't need a wide receiver. Josh, what are you talking about? Well, if Darren Waller retires, they certainly do. Right now, Daniel Bellinger would be the starting tight end if we have no Darren Waller. And what sucks is that Darren Waller, at least to the public, has not announced his thoughts on retirement or not. Maybe he's informed the team of what he wants to do. I would hope he has before the draft. I'm sure the team is allowing him time, but we signed him for a lot of money to do very good things, and he just has not lived up to that whatsoever. And Alex, if you're looking at the team right now and you're thinking, well, Darren Waller is going to be the starting tight end, it's just not 100% at this point, because he went into this offseason and, according to what we know, still has not made a decision on whether he's going to retire this offseason or whether he's going to play football for the New York Giants. So with that being said, I decided to put Brock Bowers as my number five guy. He's got good acceleration for his size. He gets to his top speed super well for a tight end especially. And he's a good route runner. Things you want to see out of a versatile tight end. Played at a school like Georgia, which is known to play top-tier football, top-tier talent. And that's who I have here for my number five. I'll let you go.
Yeah, I mean, for me, when I look at, like, the players I would want that are out of the remaining guys besides those main four that we talked about would be gone, I see four guys that I would be very happy with. You know, I think four obvious choices. Maybe not I would be super happy with all of them, but I think they're the four obvious choices. And then you get to number five for me, and I think that's where it gets really tough because, you know, I don't want to spoil the rest of my list, so I'm not going to explain why it's super tough yet. I'll explain it more after. But some of the players at positions that the Giants would value are just not really there at that level, at the number six spot level. And that's kind of the difficulty. But for me, I think cornerback is definitely a little bit of a reach here, but I wouldn't be upset just based on the huge need we have at that position. So my fifth guy on my list would be Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. You know, not someone who's really a huge athletic freak, not someone who's going to, you know, go off the charts in any athletic testing, but he's just been so good in college, really like high IQ player. He actually has really good recovery speed, which is something that, you know, his 4.5 40 doesn't really, I guess, portray. You know, he's got good ball skills, good movement skills, good press on the line of scrimmage. The only thing that he sometimes struggles with is tackling, and that's something that you obviously can easily kind of fix in the NFL level, I think, with proper coaching. And, you know, overall, I think he's a very solid player. And if we had to take a corner in the first round, which I don't think is as crazy as some people are making it out to be, I think Arnold's actually a pretty solid prospect. And he would be my top choice at that position. But yeah, I would say at that fifth spot, it would be a top corner in this draft. And for me, that would be Arnold.
I'll spoil my list in saying that I have no defensive players getting picked in my top five. I just don't see that as a possibility for the New York Giants. And that moves me to my number four player, which is going to be, I think, heavily debated. I don't know if it's by Alex, but it's been by people already on social media. And that is quarterback Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. And now I'm sure the thoughts are going to come and the screaming or the yelling. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be.
Honestly, I don't think that's the craziest part. I think Brock Bowers is way crazier than that.
Okay. So anyway, I have Michael Penix at four. The reasoning, I just don't like J.J. McCarthy as the quarterback to be picked here. I don't see the potential. You look at stats comparison between Michael Penix Jr. and J.J. McCarthy. Michael Penix has more yards, has more touchdowns, has better looks, has better deep throws. J.J. McCarthy is getting this hype because he helped lead, quote-unquote, Michigan to the national championship. But think about it, and you watch Michigan's tape back for anyone who actually wants to take the time and watch Michigan highlights. J.J. McCarthy is making the short throws, and he's making the throws down the middle. He's finding open wide receivers, which is great. That's what a quarterback's supposed to do. But if you really watch, you see that the ball and the game time plays are not being made by J.J. McCarthy. He's handing it off. He's finding wide receivers 5 to 10 yards down the field, and they make the rest of the moves, and they get into the red zone or the end zone itself. Michael Penix Jr., he was the playmaker for Washington. He was finding another player that I think we're going to both mention in our list later. He was making the deep throws. He was putting his team in the red zone and the end zone. And that is why I have Michael Penix Jr. at number 4 and not a quarterback like J.J. McCarthy. And obviously, we already know that the other 3 quarterbacks or 4 quarterbacks, the way you look at it, I guess with my list, not including J.J. McCarthy, is not there at number 4.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree in some sense with what you're saying. I think one thing that you mentioned that I think is actually a really good point is he really, I mean, at least from what I've watched, of course, I haven't watched J.J. McCarthy as much as some of these other guys who, you know, obviously do this for a living, but I tend to see that he just doesn't throw outside the numbers that well. And that's something that, you know, even Daniel Jones has really struggled with, and that's something that we really critique him on.
You're talking about J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, I'm talking about J.J. McCarthy now. Yeah,
And here's the thing, too. It's just like it's scary to see that this guy who was projected in the second round, maybe late first round, beginning of this season, creeps up all the way to the top 10 simply because of how good his team was, not how good he personally is as a player. It's not very smart, I think, for a team like the Giants to take a risk on him when we're really trying to build something here, especially at the quarterback position that needs a reset, because Daniel Jones, it doesn't seem like, is our option in the future, especially if he doesn't perform this year. And then, sorry, the one last thing I want to say is people are also going to fear Michael Penix Jr. because of the injury history and the troubles there. Well, that's fine. I mean, it's a valid point. I mean, the guy tore and retore the same ACL. He's had a few seasons now with season-ending injuries. So I understand if you don't want to take a risk on him. But from what he was able to do, to persevere the last couple seasons, come back from re-tearing and tearing his ACL, and have a dominant season to put his team in a place to win a national championship, I think is something we have never seen before. I think Michael Penix Jr., there was a robbery with the Heisman Trophy going to Jaden Daniels in a way. I think he deserved it. If anything, I mean, the guy is an absolute beast to come back from all of that. And I guess for all of you complaining about the injury history, I'd like to see you come back from tearing and re-tearing your ACL twice to perform at a level that Michael Penix Jr. has been performing at. Sorry, Alex, go ahead with your number 4. I'm talking for a while now.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep yapping about it real quick. I want to say, I think J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr., I don't think there's a big difference in the quality of their tape. I think the reason McCarthy's projected so much higher is the external factors, the fact that he's 3 years younger, the fact that you can see the leadership traits, not saying Michael Penix doesn't have those, and the fact that he was part of such a, like, you know, high pedigree program at Michigan, Jim Harbaugh. So I think there's a lot of the external factors that go into the reason why one of them's mocked so much higher than the other. But I'll touch on J.J. McCarthy in a minute anyway, but I'll go to my number 4 guy before that. Joe Alt, he's just too good of a prospect overall. I get that maybe that's not even a top 10 position of need for the Giants at this current moment, but Joe Alt is too good to pass on if, say, you know, some of these other guys happen to just go and the Giants don't like some of these something, or say something, you know, some of these guys drop because of some external reason. I think Joe Alt is the joint best player in this class, you know, talent-wise, and I think he's going to go really high. I kind of have a feeling he might go to the Chargers. I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants take him. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals take him. I'd be a little bit surprised if the Patriots took him. But, Joe Alt, he's a really, really good player, and, you know, he's almost the perfect tackle prospect. So I just wouldn't be mad at all. If we took him, he's just not exactly a player who's going to fill a huge need for us at this current moment. And you really don't want to give up on Evan Neal quite yet.
Moving on to number 3, and this is the one that Alex was talking about. He said that Brock Bowers was the stretch. This is the stretch for him. It's no Joelt for me. It's offensive tackle J.C. Latham out of Alabama. And before Alex absolutely loses his mind, it goes absolutely bananas. J.C. Latham, you're looking at offensive lineman. You want a big boy, right? You want the hog mollies. That's why they are called the hog mollies. Joelt, he's 6'7", right? Something like
six,
that?
6'9". 6'9".
J.C. Latham is 6'6", so also a big guy. And he weighs more. He weighs actually 30 pounds more than Joelt. So Joelt's kind of lean build for how tall he is to be an offensive lineman. And then J.C. Latham is about 360 pounds, 6'6". J.C. Latham, to me, is the more plug-and-play guy. If we want a starting right tackle right now, I'm not going to pick Joelt. I'm going to pick J.C. Latham. And now Alex is already giving me looks.
I can't believe what I'm hearing right now, Josh. I'm about to jump out the window.
He's quick in passing, sets his grip strength, is out of the ordinary in a positive light. And I think he's one of, if not the best tackles in the draft. Obviously, I wouldn't have put him at three if I didn't think so. I think between him and Joelt, obviously, they're flip-flop one and two, depending on how you look at them. I think that other people in this, other draft experts, Alex, you can look it up, will agree with me that Latham is number one and Joelt is number two. You obviously don't agree with me, and that's really okay. But I would say on a day one basis, you're looking at schools, you're looking at Alabama. Those guys that come out of Alabama, I mean, Nick Saban does the absolute best job in picking his players. Now tell me, where did Joelt go to school?
Notre Dame, literally O-line university, literally O-line university.
O-line university, but overall as a program, how are they?
But they produce players.
Would
at the
you
NFL
rather
level
have
elite.
A player from Alabama or Notre Dame go into your team?
Depends on the position. If it's from an O-line, okay. I would definitely prefer. If it's O-line or linebacker, I prefer Notre Dame. Any other position, I prefer Alabama.
Any other position, Alabama. Fine. All right. Sure. I still think that really helps with my point here. J.C. Latham is going to be that guy, and funny enough, if he ends up replacing Evan Neal with the Giants, as an Alabama Crimson Tide player replacing a Crimson Tide player.
Maybe that's why, Josh. I'm having flashbacks of Evan Neal right now. Maybe that's why, because that
could be very much understandable. But
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Anyway, that's it. I'll leave it at that because I know you're going to have something to say. So go ahead.
No, I think I basically think the opposite of everything you just said, so I'm not going to repeat it again.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think Latham's a very good prospect. I just don't see how you take him over Joelt. I think Joelt's honestly, this is a great tackle class, probably. I mean, I hate saying this because I feel like we say this almost every year.
It's a great tackle class,
except for, like, Was it last year? Last year was not a good tackle class, Josh. Funny enough, I think, if I remember correctly. Whereas, like, you know, year before that, obviously the Andrew Thomas, Tristan Wirfs, Jedrick Wills, that was an insane class. I think this class is on par with that one. And I really like all those guys. Joelt, I just think's a little bit of a different level, to be completely honest. I think you just see that on tape, the way he bullies guys.
But I'm not saying he isn't. That's the thing. You're saying it like I'm just explaining why I put Latham over him. I'm not saying he's not a superhuman, a super freak, whatever you want
to
call it.
What I'm trying to say is I think he's a different level from every other tackle prospect, including Latham.
You only have him at number four, though. I have our offensive tackle at number three. I don't have another offensive tackle after three. So if you think all is that good, why are you putting him at four? Why is he not
because
at three?
Because I think there's positions that are much more important right now for the Giants that they need to get solved ASAP. One of those being quarterback, a couple of those being receiver. And I think those are just way more critical. And unfortunately, you just have to pass up on a very good prospect like all. But honestly, like I said before, I think 1 through 4, it's very locked in for me. And I don't think, or I mean locked in the fact that they're the top four. But I think in any order, I wouldn't look at anybody's order too crazily if they had it jump or scrambled differently. Like if they had Joelt number one or not, or Malik Nabers at number four, I wouldn't really bat an eye at it as long as they had that four. Anyway, I'll move on. quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. He's my number three guy. Could be my number one guy, depending on how desperate I feel.
Ooh,
if Daniel Jones stares into the camera one more time with huge bug eyes and looks like he's losing his mind, maybe J.J. McCarthy will move up to number one. But, yeah, I think J.J. McCarthy, I'm not a huge fan, but I do think he's worthy of a top 10 to 15 pick. And generally, you have to reach on quarterbacks, and I think J.J. McCarthy is not someone I'd be upset with just because you do see the flashes with Michigan. They're not consistent, but you do see them, and what is consistent is his ability to manage the game, his ability to win games, and I think there is value in that. When you're a winner in college, I think there's value that, you know, translates over that you will be a winner when you get to the NFL level. Of course, some guys that doesn't work out for, but I think J.J. McCarthy, it could. And that's why he's my number three guy. You kind of talked about him already. One concern for me, can't really throw outside the numbers. Hopefully that's not as true as I think it is. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me. And the Giants desperately need a quarterback. They desperately do. And I have him a little bit above Penix. I think Penix, he's a little bit too old. And the injury history is very concerning when you're using such a huge value pick on him at number six. I don't think you can take the risk on that guy. I know you're taking a risk on McCarthy also. And really, you're taking a risk on any quarterback in this class, besides maybe Caleb Williams. So I think you gotta do what you have to do. You have to make ballsy moves sometimes as a GM, and I think this would be one of them, and I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Shane makes it.
All right, number two now. I feel like our lists are going to be simultaneous up until this point, but I could be wrong. So maybe we'll fly through this a little bit faster. Wide receiver Rome Odunze out of Washington is my number two player. Speed just dominates opponents, good hands and catch in tight windows. We've talked about Rome Odunze a few times out on this podcast, so I'm really not going to go too deep into it. If you want more about it, go to our mock draft. When we pick him at six, if you want more, go to our wide receiver rankings. But I think Rome Odunze at number two is just the answer there. And I think Alex agrees with that. So, right?
All I was going to say, actually, is I saw a mock the other day that had him going over Marvin Harrison Jr. and the next guy we're going to talk about. So very interesting. I'd be fascinated to see if he goes above those two. But yeah, the three big receivers in this class are insane. And then you got like Brian Tolley. Like, there's so many good receivers in this class.
Both out of LSU, by the way. Ranked that high out of LSU.
I think he's going top 15. I think after these three guys, there's going to be a team that's desperate for a receiver, and they're gonna snatch him up, I think, earlier than people think.
So we talked about number two being Rome Odunze. Number one, wide receiver Malik Nabers out of LSU. His movements are insane. They're going to be used at a crucial level in the NFL. And the ability to change direction yet to continue to accelerate really allows him to be a specialist in the slot or on the outside, depending on where you want to play him. He will be a number one receiver for the New York Giants, and that's who we both have at number one of who the Giants should draft, because, again, we really wanted this number one wide receiver. We haven't gotten it out of players like Darius Slayton, although he's a pretty consistent player.
Holding out, by the way. Very interesting. I don't know if you saw that.
So Darius Slayton there. Golden Tate a few years ago. Drafting Wandell Robinson. Drafting Jalen
Hyatt. Don't forget Kenny Golladay.
Yeah. Kenny Golladay. Did I say Golden Tate? I meant Kenny Golladay. Do we have Golden Tate too? Or no, am I just thinking Detroit
Lions? Yeah, we did
Lions.
Have Golden Tate. Remember, I'm the biggest Golden Tate fan there is.
Yes, we did have Golden Tate. All right. And he was also a former Detroit Lion. Yeah, so we love snatching Detroit Lions in their past their prime and hoping that they become better players. Haven't had a number one wide receiver since Odell Beckham Jr. years ago. Hopefully we get that with either Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze, depending on who's at six. But for right now, at this point, let us know, obviously, you know, on social media, on the Giant Take Pod on Twitter or X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok as well. Let us know who your top five would be or who you would like the Giants to draft in this year's NFL draft. Alex on Twitter at Inorian23. I'm on Twitter at JoshSholo29. And then podcast platforms, obviously, wherever you're listening right now, drop that 5 stars. Everything I just said will be in the podcast description and schedule update. So obviously it's Thursday right now. Like I said, a week out from the NFL draft. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how much you love the draft or the way you're looking at it, we'll have probably one more episode before the draft commences next Thursday, and that'll be our final New York Giants mock draft 3.0, assuming trades will happen in that one, depending on how it works out. Normally, the 3.0 includes trades, so we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, that's the schedule for right now. It sucks. I wish we could have recorded more in this time period, but, you know, it was definitely a lot of the last month with school and stuff. So not as much as we would have hoped, but we made the best of it, and I think we made pretty good content out of it. And it's not over yet. Still one more to come. So, Alex, without further ado.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode. Like we talked about in the beginning, a lot going on, even besides the draft, to keep you occupied until next week. So make sure to watch NBA playoffs, baseball, whatever you want to do. I guess keep reading those mocks, keep getting excited. And, you know, like you said, Josh, we'll be back early next week to, you know, I guess do our final preview. It's always sad when we do our final preview for the draft season. It's like all this talking, all this anticipation, and then it's all over. At least for the first round and, you know, just a couple of hours. And for the Giants, probably like an hour at pick six. So, really excited, though. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And we'll see you all next time with some more draft coverage. Thank you, everyone. Peace.